Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I like this story. Once a pastor asked the confirmation class to memorize the Apostles' Creed, which we had just done. That was their homework assignment. And at the very next class, the next week, he asked one of them to say the first section, "I believe in God the Father," and the pupil did. And then the second youth recited, "I believe in Jesus Christ," and that section. And he called for the third section, and nothing happened. It was silence. He was looking around his confirmation class, and one of the pupils explained, "Preacher, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is absent today." Some of us feel the same way. It has always been so. In the first century, the Apostle Paul asked the Ephesians Christians, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." But in ancient Judaism, there has always been the teaching that God's Holy Spirit gave words to the prophets, prompting them in what to say. And that reminds me, back in high school, Caroline and I were in the drama club. And believe it or not, I was the only three-sport letterman who was in the drama club. I want to kind of, you know, let you know, I did both halves of my brain. But believe it or not, I was one of the on-stage actors, and I am sure you'll have no trouble believing that I very often had trouble remembering my lines. Caroline was a prompter, and she would gently whisper from just offstage my lines when I forgot, and I needed her a lot, and I still do. So in the Old Testament, there was already this understanding that when God called up a prophet, God gave that prophet the Holy Spirit, and when and if God no longer needed that particular prophet, God recalled the Holy Spirit, and the prophet prophesied no more. In Psalm 51, we get that idea where King David says, he prays, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." They believe that the Spirit could come and go, and that the Spirit gives wisdom and direction and utterance to God's people and individuals. Now, at the big Pentecost event you've heard about from Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them words, gave them utterance, the Spirit whispering them their lines from off stage. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." Peter's first full sermon in the 4th chapter of Acts, it says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, "Rulers and people and elders," and he proceeded to preach the gospel of Jesus. So you see them acting, the disciples acting as prophets of the Old Testament, but with words given from God about Jesus. The Gospels also say that John the Baptist, he baptized with water, but Jesus would come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Ezekiel, speaking for God in the Old Testament, predicts the day when "I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender and responsive heart." So if we, like the Ephesians Christians, did not know that there was even a Holy Spirit at all, or maybe in our class, the boy who believes the Holy Spirit is absent, we really have no excuse. God the Holy Spirit is throughout the Bible giving direction and giving courage and words to say and places to go and sometimes places not to go. Giving also comfort and compassion to others through a changed and tender, warmed heart. Jesus promised that the Spirit would guide us into truth. That means new insights. And in a time when so many words are spilt without meaning, some bona fide truth you could cling to would certainly be nice. Scripture seems to say that we can, it is not desirable, but we can live and breathe and merely exist without God's Spirit, but we were made for more. We can make it with stony hearts and animal-like existence, but we were made for more. We can possess all sorts of wealth and fashion and gadgets and cars and homes, but we were made for more. We are flesh and spirit ourselves. And without God's Holy Spirit, we are not fully who we are meant to be. And without God comes loneliness and aimlessness and an emptiness that can consume us. Joel, a minor prophet, was saying something quite extraordinary when he predicted what happened on the day of Pentecost. Joel is saying there was going to be a day when God's Holy Spirit will be let loose in the world, not confined to prophets, not even confined to Israel, but let loose in the world. Pentecost was that day. The Holy Spirit was let loose to comfort and to give courage and to guide us into truth and to give us words to utter and hearts to feel compassion for others and a deeper understanding of what God has done in Jesus Christ. To give us enthusiasm for what God has done in Jesus Christ. And did you know when you look it up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, look up the word enthusiasm. The primary meaning, the meaning 1A, is this: belief in special revelations of the Holy Spirit. That's meaning 1A of enthusiasm. It's only secondarily that you go and cheer for your favorite football team. But the first definition of enthusiasm is to not to cheer for your team, but to get in the game, God's game, under the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet we customarily consign the Holy Spirit to some other particular denominations. And it's odd, when God has gone to all the trouble of letting the Spirit loose in the world, that we sort of consign the Spirit over to some corner here or there. We have the sign of the Holy Spirit on the side of our newest building. It's a flame and red bricks across the cross. But it does the most good when it isn't built into a hard brick wall. The Spirit does the most good when making our hard hearts into something flesh and feeling and warm and in tune with Jesus Christ. Bishop Will Willimon says that we suffer from an institutional and spiritual dry rot. I hope not. I hope not. Don't you sometimes hear and act on God whispering to you from just off stage? Don't you sometimes feel with unexpected compassion for others of God's children or perhaps even enemies? Have you not the desire for peace and unity even above your own ego? Sometimes, even the emptiness that we feel can be God's Holy Spirit bringing us to a fuller and more meaningful life in a Godward direction. Do you feel like you're living all alone? You don't have to. God is here. God has come. God is available, not just in stories in the Bible, but in the present tense. As God the Holy Spirit. That is the message of Pentecost. Jesus said to the disciples, He is with you and will be in you. And when God is in you, you better watch out, because God will change you. When you receive the Spirit, God becomes incarnate in us in a similar way to God being incarnate in Jesus, the Word become flesh. And that sounds a little audacious, but the Apostle Paul taught the same thing more than once. And 1 Corinthians 3, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Holy Spirit dwells within you? And 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own, but you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. The Westminster Catechism teaches first the question number 4, what is God? And it answers, God is spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being wise and powerful and holy and just and good and true. And so God the Holy Spirit moves us and grows us in those directions, and we necessarily grow in compassion for others under the influence of God's Holy Spirit. But without God's Spirit, I don't think that we are naturally aware, nor do we care very much about other people. I don't believe that we care very much. We are born selfish and self-centered. There's a wonderful story, and it is a funny story. In my Wisdom of the Ages group, they roasted me last Thursday. I'm partially roasted here. And they gave me a sign that says laughter for my new congregation to hold up when the story calls for it. This story calls for it. And I said, what do you mean new congregation? I could use it here. There's a wonderful story about a young man from Scotland. He was admitted to Oxford University and he moved into the dormitory, and his mother worried about how he would get along with those snobbish Brits in a strange land. She said that, I didn't. She gave him a call and said, how do you find the English students, Donald? And he said, oh mother, they are a strange and noisy people. The one on the one side bangs his head against the wall all night and won't stop. And the one on the other side screams and curses until the sun comes up at dawn. The mother said, oh Donald, how do you put up with such rude and noisy people? Donald said, I ignore them, mother. I just sit there quietly each night playing my bagpipes. We sometimes live our lives pretty disconnected from the way we affect other people. The Spirit came to bring about a spiritual second birth, a rebirth, if you will, as new creatures in Christ. Do you remember that in Paul's letters, Jesus is spoken of as the second Adam? You may have read over that, didn't read the footnote, and said, what is that about? Jesus, the second Adam? The firstborn of a new creation. And we follow him as new creatures. Where do we get the power to become new creatures? From God the Holy Spirit. And so it isn't so difficult to discern the action of the Holy Spirit. Here is the question, how new are you? How new am I? As in Genesis creation, dust was made into a living being by God breathing spirit into that dirt man, Adam. And so in the new covenant, we are taught that the Holy Spirit can remake, recreate, and rebirth us spiritually from hearts of stone, little bits of dust, into a child of God. No longer mere animal existence, which may insult some animals. No longer mere breathing and eating and reproducing, but now with lines whispered from the Holy Spirit, courage and direction and new compassion, we can become self-aware, connected to the Creator and connected to others as Jesus was. This faith of ours is so much more than mere teaching. It is a new way of life, a new life connected to God and to others by God's Spirit, dynamic and moving and encouraging and growing us each day. God, the present tense with us, is the Spirit. And that is the good news of the gospel. God is with us. There is no way to leave God's Spirit out of the gospel. As Jesus was the walking, living, breathing, loving, forgiving image of God, the Word made flesh, now after Pentecost, we are enabled to become more like Jesus, walking and talking and breathing and loving and forgiving and feeling connected temples of God's Holy Spirit. Isn't that what Paul said we were? Live like that. Show some family resemblance, and if you can't show a close resemblance to Jesus, then you could at least be a first cousin. Show some resemblance. Don't you want to feel more connected to God? In the same way that when Kit read from Romans 8, that we could cry out to God, the Creator God, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. To feel that connected. Abba, Father. That is the Spirit Himself, says Paul, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, that we can call God the Creator our Daddy. Before we go, I want to turn this from the highly theological to the deeply personal. Back in my first appointment, they would say, now he's gone to Medwin. Now he's meddling. I want to talk to you honestly about the people you are around the most. Sometimes we try to do this Christian life of ours all by ourselves, and it cannot be done. At least not for long stretches by ourselves. It is often done just at church and just for Sunday mornings. But what about away from here? And what about at home? If living this new, connected, compassionate life is hard at home, then maybe we do need to hand our efforts and our life over to God for help. Christian service and a Spirit-filled life is not just in Sunday school, not just in small groups, not just for Project Warm or Salkehatchee or Umvim. It is your entire life, and that means even for your wife and your husband and your parents and your teachers and strangers too. World-class novelist and a Christian of strong principles and reputation, Leo Tolstoy. It is said that he freed his serfs so that they would no longer live in grinding poverty, and did many other things, but Tolstoy overlooked the person right next to him. After he died, his wife Sonia wrote this. She said, "There is so little genuine warmth about him. His biographies will tell of how he helped the laborers to carry buckets of water. But no one will ever know that he never gave his wife a rest and never in 32 years gave his child a drink of water or spent 5 minutes by a bedside to give me a chance to rest from my labors." Tolstoy, a great Christian in so many ways, was blind to the needs of those closest to him. How tragic it is when Christians divorce their Christian life from daily life. If you, and I'm making up a phrase here, if you put your Jesus on here and take Jesus off when you leave here, there is something missing, and you know it. What may be missing is your humble submission to God in the present tense, God the Holy Spirit. I'll remind you of what Jesus said, as you heard earlier from John 14. If, there's an if there, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned, and I will give you my peace, peace which the world cannot give. Jesus promised to be intimately connected to us. And it's not about just reading the Bible. It's about God present with us and the Holy Spirit. That is how we are connected. And when we connect to God in humility, we are able to live more Christ-like lives in Sunday school, in church, at Salkehatchee, Project Warm, Umvim, and also at home. How new am I in this process of new creation? That's the question for today. Here and out there, the world has a right to see Jesus in us. And I think when I look at my life and when each of us take an honest look at our lives, we have a ways to grow. But thank God we have the power to grow through God with us, the Holy Spirit.